Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good. This is, I'm Daddy McDuke. I have a Bengals podcast, the number one Bengals podcast on Believe. And
Oh, great.
Yeah, and I have a YouTube show about the team. So that's why John asked me to talk to you about, you know, pizza and football as well. So really nice.
Sounds good.
Yeah, really nice to meet you. So, yeah, so I have a few questions for you about pizza, because I'm a big pizza guy. That's actually why I was late to the interview. I was eating pizza. But, you know, when I think of pizza, I think of Papa John, right? Because he is really, he's like the American kind of Santa Claus, if you will. He's like the Papa Noel of pizza. And I remember back when the 49ers played the Ravens, he gave out free pizzas, you know, to half the country, whoever guessed the winning team. Because obviously, you know, those who were, you know, he divided the country like naughty and nice. And those who chose correctly got pizza, and those who didn't, you know, they didn't get pizza. And what I like about him is all the innovative ways he's given us pizza. So like the, you know, the garlic butter, you know, we used to throw out the crust. But garlic, you know, is very good for your brain health and your heart. And so it's a way to make pizza more nutritious. So what do you like to add to your Papa John's pizza?
So I'm a big fan of the garlic dipping sauce. I also, you know, I don't go too crazy with the toppings. I'm more of just like a pepperoni and sausage kind of guy. But I do like that new New York style pizza, because you can fold it in half. They're like the big New York style slices. So that's really my favorite part about it. You know, because everybody has their own style with like Chicago deep dish style and like Detroit style, but I'm more of a New York style guy.
Yeah, you know, I am too. And that was gonna be my follow up question. I'm glad you answered it, because New York pizza is actual pizza, in my opinion. You know, you look at like Chicago style, and it's more like a pizza pool, right? It's like you have this deep. You have to take a swim. Yeah, you have to take a swim in the pizza and the sauce and the cheese. And as much as I love pizza, I can't breathe after the Chicago style. But then you have the Detroit style, which to me, it seems to be making some sort of a statement, some anti-scientific statement, because we all know that pizza is round, and they insist that it is a square, that it's supposed to be a flat and a square, and it seems like there's too much of an agenda there.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah.
That's funny.
So how do you like to eat pizza? Because I like to stack up all the slices one-on-one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then you eat it like corn on the cob, because that way I'm getting my vegetables too. So how do you like to eat your pizza?
I'm more, you know, folded in half kind of guy.
Oh, you said that. You know, I'm not paying it. Yeah. I was actually just thinking about pizza. That's why I didn't catch that.
Some people eat like the crust first. And
no.
You can do it any way you want, as long as you're not using a fork and knife.
You know, with the crust first, that's actually, there's a stat that it's like a quarter of, you know, Los Angeles and San Francisco, they eat the crust first.
I heard that. I saw that.
And you know what that is? That is so representative of the fake kind of veganism. They're like, I'm not going to eat the cheese. I'm not going to eat the cheese. They start with the bread, but they end up eating the cheese. So it is. I think it's more of a demonstration than there's no sincere. Yeah. But so enough about pizza. Let's talk about what pizza, its primary purpose is, and that's to power football players like you.
That's right.
And, you know, I remember when you defeated my Cincinnati Bengals, and you went on to the AFC Championship game, and you did that 2 years in a row. And you were I don't know, your first and second year in the league, you're very young, like Joe Burrow. And you managed to keep the team in contention despite not having, let's say, a very, let's say, high-flying offense. Now, Joe Burrow has had a high-flying offense in the regular season. In the postseason, he hasn't. So what I want to ask you is, when he's going up against, you know, Aaron Donald and, you know, Von Miller and, you know, all these incredible pass rushers, and we know that the Bengals, their offensive line woes have really shown themselves in the postseason, what can he do? Where can he attack? You know, who would, you know, Tyler Boyd, CJ Uzama, what would be your mentality to move the team along and you know, just keep, let's say, their head above water enough to, you know, outscore the Rams.
Yeah, I think part of it's just going to have to be keeping that defensive line off balance. And the way you do that is you got to mix up your play calls and mix them up consistently. So, for example, you want, you know, a quick game followed up by a deep play action, followed up by a movement like a naked, followed up by a drawback. So you're constantly changing the throwing position of the quarterback and changing up the timing. And then to do that, when you have those longer patterns and longer developing plays, you got to get help inside with the halfbacks, with the tight ends. They got to help on the edges and interior. And basically that just means, like, on their way out, on their route, on their check down route, that they just get a piece of one of those rushers. And, you know, I've had coaches say it to running backs, like, get some rib meat, because basically you go and take a shot at their ribs and just try and slow them down. And hopefully towards the end of the game, you wear on those guys a little bit and take a little speed off them.
That is fantastic. Do you mind if I share that with the Cincinnati Bengals? Okay. So I am glad that you apparently are rooting for the Bengals. That's what I gathered. You gave us some you gave us some insider information there.
There you go. There you go.
So do you think that they will be able to pull it off? What is your prediction for the game?
I mean, they got to block them. That's the big story, is how are they going to keep those guys off balance? How are they going to keep Joe upright? And, you know, this is a team where you can't have 9 sacks like they did in that divisional game against Tennessee. That was incredible. And for Joe Burrow to still be standing and playing the way he has after that is a real testament to him and how tough he is. But, you know, I could see them pulling off a huge upset and, you know, continuing with this momentum. And part of it is, you know, it feels like they're almost playing with house money, you know, like nobody expected it anyway. They're almost like ignorance is bliss. Like it's almost like they don't even, maybe not that they don't acknowledge the magnitude of what they're doing, but it, you know, I don't know who else really thought this was going to happen. Right. And, so I think they're playing with house money in a way. So that's good for them. You know, it's almost like being a rookie. Yeah. You're in like a rookie bubble. You don't realize, you know, how many games you've won or what, you know, small accomplishments you've had along the way. You just put your head down and play. And, you know, once you get older, once, you know, you almost have too much information at times. And, you know, it almost works against you.
Yeah, well, I know two people who thought they would be here. One is Joe Burrow, and I said it on the show. I predicted they'd win the Super Bowl, but
there you go.
Yeah, but I mean, really, that was kind of the ideal scenario. You know, they put the pieces around Joe Burrow, not on the offensive line, but everywhere else. You know, you look at the, you know, adding Jamar Chase. We talked about it last year. The only element he was missing was the deep ball, and if you look at his deep passes at LSU, they were to Jamar Chase. So you add him, all of a sudden, his deep ball, that was the missing part of his game, and that was, you know, completed. And then the defense didn't have attitude, it didn't have bite. We had some veterans who were around for a while, and they were frustrated with the losing. We added some players with some real, you know, like guys that maybe other teams didn't value that much, like Eli Apple, you know, Chidobe Awuzie, or even Mike Hilton. You know, he felt slighted by the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they have an edge, and they are team players. And we put these pieces around the defense, and all of a sudden, you know, even with just one pass rusher, really, one premier pass rusher in Trey Hendrickson, the defense has come up every playoff game with big plays. So,
I mean, interception last week, or whenever it was.
Yeah. Every week, all 3 weeks. All 3 weeks they've had, so against the Titans, Eli Apple tipped the pass. And and then against the Jermaine Pratt, of course, the wild card picked it off in almost close to the end zone. And then last week against the Chiefs, it was Jesse Bates who tipped it to Von Bell.
Yeah, that was a huge, huge play.
And a play or two before that, Eli Apple almost had a pick six. So they're all just waiting for the
game.
Yeah. So your prediction, it seems like you want to pick the Bengals. Can I get an official prediction from you?
Ooh, I don't if I could take them. You know, I think they're going to be back. You know, I think they're going to have more opportunities in these next 4 years to really come back and get to this position again. I would love, you know, as a friend of Matt Stafford's and being in the same draft class, I would love to see him win it, just because of everything he's been through in Detroit and finally getting a really good opportunity. That's pretty cool to me. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be upset if the Bengals won, but, you know, that'd be incredible for Joe, be the youngest kid or whatever, second youngest, and then Heisman, national championship, and a Super Bowl. That's incredible.
Yeah, and that injury and doing it in Cincinnati and all of that. But okay, well, thank you so much, Mark. Can I just one last thing? Would you ever be interested in coming on our show? It's a lot of fun. It's a DNH of Sports. It's on YouTube. If you come on our show, I promise you it's going to be a lot of fun. We have two excellent,
you know, I got to check you guys out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely check us out. And we'd love to have you on, maybe in the off season, whenever you're free again.
Yeah, when you guys are done parading around the city with your Super Bowl trophy.
Appreciate it. So that's your prediction. I finally got it. All right, buddy. Okay. Thank you. Take care, Mark.
Have a good one, man.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.